VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Friends, we got a very full program today, so trust you'll be able to stay with us and be informed on critical issues. Before we get to our guest today, we want to provide an update on the case of Jeffrey Younger. Now, he is the father who is trying to save his 7-year-old son, James, from being transitioned into a girl. If you recall, on Tuesday's Crosstalk, we interviewed Madeline Jacob, who is a reporter with LifeSiteNews.com, who's been in the courtroom every single day. And the matter is that they have been reporting what's been going on. And on Monday, we reported that on Tuesday, the judge was to she was with us earlier, and that yesterday that the judge was to release her decision, release her ruling. As you know, the jury ruled against the father as having sole custody and that only one should have custody. And so we've been awaiting the judge's ruling. Well, yesterday, as that time was coming about, the judge, through her clerk, indicated that the decision was not going to be announced yesterday as planned, but would be announced today, but refused to specify the time. They will be dealing with all kinds of issues on this the son whom the mother is trying to have transitioned into a girl by the name of Luna. His name is James, and will be determining whether or not the father's having his son is going to be curtailed or reduced, or if he will be refused to call his son by name James out in public places, etc. So the judge put off that decision yesterday, and understand that sometime this afternoon that was going to be coming forth. If that happens, if it breaks here during Crosstalk, we'll give you that information. Otherwise, we'll provide you the update tomorrow afternoon. One other bright light in all of this, and that is the Texas governor, Governor Abbott, has sent out a tweet yesterday indicating that he is going to put his attorney general's office and the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services to look into this James Younger case. So continue to keep that matter in prayer. But keep in mind that the mainstream media has been totally absent. I mean, you think about the significance of this case, and the mainstream media just giving it's nothing but crickets from them, and it's not been getting out there aside from places like LifeSiteNews.com, and there was a local entity that picked it up as well. But you see, you are purposely being left in the dark on these issues. Now, there's another matter where much of the mainstream media also has been absent, and that's regarding a case that's underway in California. And this is a civil trial that's going on in San Francisco Federal District Court, in which Liberty Counsel is defending Sandra Merritt against Planned Parenthood, who is seeking millions of dollars as punishment for her undercover investigation that exposed Planned Parenthood's trafficking in human baby body parts. Here with an update on this weeks-long trial is Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Matt, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Matt, there was a breakthrough yesterday in this case, and before we tell our listeners what happened yesterday, give us a brief synopsis, if you would, of Planned Parenthood's allegations against your client, Sandra Merritt.
Well, Planned Parenthood and the Attorney General came after our client Sandra Merritt and David DeLayden because they did undercover journalistic investigation. They did it according to the law because in California it's a two-party consent, but if the conversation is in the public area where other people can overhear it, that's permissible. And also, if it's someone that you think is engaging in or about to engage in, has engaged in illegal activity, that's also permissible as well, and both of these apply here. But these videos went out, and they shocked the world. It's nothing new, unfortunately, because it's been going on for a couple of decades. But to see it again, what they're doing is harvesting baby body parts and selling them on the market for thousands of dollars. Planned Parenthood wanted to stop this, and they wanted to punish Sandra and David. So they filed this multi-million-dollar RICO lawsuit, $16 million. But if they win, it would be tripled to $48 million plus attorney's fees and cost. And so we're in the middle of a multi-week trial. We just finished the fourth week, and we have at least two, maybe four more weeks to go.
This is amazing. And Matt, there's been some very, very shocking testimony that's come forth, and I'd like to review some of it here. One that I think Liberty Counsel Action pointed out is that Pinocchio is having some competition, namely that Planned Parenthood has been caught in some lies.
Yeah, they've been caught in some lies, no question about it. And we've caught them in lies during their direct examination. And what we are able to do is do cross-examination. And one of the doctors, a doctor for Planned Parenthood, a male individual, he was saying how he was upset and nervous. He was anxious about the fact that he was recorded and a video may be released. Well, he was recorded, but the video was never released. And this particular individual did not want to be outed as an abortionist. That's what his anxiety was, and therefore Planned Parenthood is saying that they need financial damages because of his anxiety. Well, it came out in the cross-examination.
And as a matter of fact, Matt, I believe he said that he had never posted anything
right.
online about his abortion work.
Never posted anything online about his abortion work. He was keeping that out of the public. He was low-key. That's what he said, low-key, under the radar. Well, during cross-examination, he got impeached twice, and we showed him the online petition that's still online that he signed, and that online petition is him as an abortion doctor, and it says that the people that are signing it are going to be loud and proud, loud and vocal, and they're going to advocate several points on abortion. One of them is obvious, basically abortion on demand, no parental notification, no parental involvement at all, and that's online. He signed it. He had to admit it.
That's not flying below the radar.
No, and he said, well, he's a little embarrassed. Well, he should be, because then we showed him a manual that is being used at the University of Southern California on abortion procedures, and he is thanked in the online manual. And he said he's proud of that. He's very proud of being in that manual, and he knows that it's online. And he also indicated, in fact, that he did not want it offline, that he stands beside it. He doesn't retract it and so forth. And finally, he had to say when he got pushed and realized that he had been caught in two lies, he ended up saying, it was almost a Perry Mason kind of thing, quote, "Counselor, you got me," close quote.
Wow.
And it was very dramatic. It was obviously an outright lie. And then what he ended up saying, well, the ending of the cross-examination was, well, our clients didn't do anything in terms of making it known publicly. By the way, the video was never released. But they didn't do anything to make you known publicly as abortionist that you didn't already do and that you've admitted to right here in court today. And he said, well, somebody has to stop these bullies. And
wow.
He hemmed and hawed before he had to get to that answer, but he ultimately acknowledged that he was there trying to bully. He called them bullies, but he was trying to bully. Planned Parenthood is trying to bully Sandra Merritt into silence.
Isn't there a term called perjury for that?
Well, yeah, definitely. He committed perjury right on the stand, right in front of 12 jurors who are watching his testimony. And there's more dramatic developments that happened last week and even this week in that trial.
Now, you indicated also in a release that the California Attorney General lawyers let slip that infanticide is acceptable and legal?
Yeah, they are obviously not going to prosecute it. They know infanticide is going on. They know that it happens. They're not going to do anything about it. They just turn a blind eye to it, and they're going to operate as though it's legal because they are right now an extension of Planned Parenthood. Kamala Harris, the previous attorney general, was supported and financially by Planned Parenthood. The current attorney general, Becerra, is supported by Planned Parenthood. He did a press conference. And then the back on the right behind him, a big sign, "I stand with Planned Parenthood." That's his ideology, and he's proud of it. And so he's not going to do anything to hurt Planned Parenthood. He knows what's going on in the Planned Parenthood abortion industry. He's the one, that office, put on these liars that were impeached under oath. But they don't really care because they don't really care about the truth, and they certainly don't care about these babies that are being brutally dismembered while they're alive.
Matt, I know part of this whole issue is against your client for making public something that was intended to be private. And as a result, you have been wanting to show videos that show, to demonstrate that that these are not private places. Unfold for us what's going on with the videos and some victories that you've had in that regard.
Yeah, now, we just did the 3-week preliminary criminal trial. There is no jury there, and that's in a state court. And we were able to show all the videos and have the experts. And we're waiting on whether or not that judge is going to call us back to do a full-blown jury trial in the criminal court and have to go all through that again. But then right after that, the multi-week, two-month or so, civil trial began in federal court. And this particular judge has a long history of supporting Planned Parenthood. And the videos are the essence of this case, whether or not the videos were done within the law. That's really the question. So the videos are the real issue. But the judge is not allowing us to show the videos. He told Planned Parenthood, if you don't talk about anything regarding the content of the videos, they're not going to be shown, except at the very beginning, hello, how you doing, and then that's it. Cut it off. Nothing else. You're not able to see the context. You're not able to see the people that can overhear the conversation, and you're not able to hear the conversations, most importantly. But last week, in the third week of the trial, Dr. Nucatola slipped during the direct examination of Planned Parenthood attorneys, and she opened the door to the content of what's in the video. Now, get this picture. This is a woman who's done about 30,000 abortions, up to 200 a week. 200 a week.
That's hard to comprehend.
It's hard to even comprehend how you can even do that. And this individual was weeping, kind of teary-eyed, if you will, on the stand during direct examination, and then she stepped into it. And on cross-examination, we argued we need to get the video of her and show it. The judge had previously denied that, denied showing the video, said no way. We brought it up again. There was argument back and forth. Finally, the judge says, well, I'll let the video in, but it has to be on mute. And we said, no, that's not good enough because, number one, you see a lot of people around them, and that shows that it's in the public and people can overhear it. But number two, you got to hear what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's sensitive information they're talking about, and they're letting people hear what they're saying. And that means it's not against the law to record something. They're not just talking about the weather. So finally, the judge allowed it, and this 4.5-minute video now shows this teary-eyed person on direct talking over wine and salad while she's casually sipping the glass and eating the salad. She's just casually talking about how she procures these body parts. And she says what she does, she says she takes her graspers, which is the forceps. She grasps the baby, turns it around, brings the feet out first. So we're talking about the baby who's already out of the womb, feet first.
Matt, I'm going to interrupt you there because we're just coming up to our break here. Matt Staver is with us today from Liberty Counsel, and he's giving us an update on the Sandra Merritt case. And as he goes further into the description, number one, if you have young children that are listening by the radio, get them involved in some other activity, but you need to know what's going on. The mainstream media is really shutting this issue out here across the nation, and you need to know what is going on. Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel representing Sandra Merritt, back in 1 minute.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, in Genesis 6, we read of the fountains of the great deep. What were these?
Chris, the Bible teaches that at the start of the flood, all the fountains of the great deep broke open. This triggered a chain reaction of events which inundated the earth. I think of these fountains as underwater volcanoes or perhaps seafloor vents where materials deep inside the earth rushed out. Today we find these seafloor vents which bring up chemical-laden waters, quite unlike seawater, but all at superheated temperatures. It may be that during the flood, these vents brought up a great deal of water which had never been on the surface before, thus providing waters for the flood. This has all been the subject of research among creationist geologists. We're still working on it, but we do so from a back-to-Genesis perspective.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, Christian Information Radio. Sandra Merritt under fire right now from Planned Parenthood, being represented by Liberty Counsel. And Matt Staver is with us today, who's founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Incidentally, Matt has argued voluminous times before federal and state courts. He has two landmark cases before the United States Supreme Court. And Matt, you're unfolding for us right now the video that was shown last week, 4.5 minutes of an abortionist sitting at a table, sipping wine, eating her salad, a very public place. Tell us further what transpired.
Yeah, the public place is so public that about 20 to 30 people are around this table, or they go back and forth around the table. And she's sitting right there where people can hear her. So David and Sandra are at the other side of the table. She's casually having lunch, and she talks about how she harvests baby body parts. So she takes what she calls her graspers, which are the forceps, and she grabs the baby, turns it breech, brings the feet out first. She says that's easier to dilate rather than doing it with the head first. It's easier to start the dilation process.
Isn't breech much more dangerous?
Yes, yes. In fact, she's clearly altering the abortion procedure. So two things happened in this video. One, she's acknowledging she's altering the abortion procedure for the purpose of harvesting organs. That's a federal crime. And two, all the other issues, it's public, and she describes what they're doing. So what she does is she says, then she takes her forceps or her graspers. Above the thorax, she crushes. Below the thorax, she crushes. And then she says she's careful not to crush any of the organs in between. She says then, after she pulls that out, and this baby, by the way, doesn't have any medication, no poisons to kill it. Why? Because the researchers don't want any poisons or chemicals in the baby's body so that it wouldn't interfere with their research. And then she brings out what she says is the calvarium, which is the skull, and she's able to bring that out last and then extract an intact brain. So she takes from the thorax intact hearts, kidneys, lungs, and livers. She takes the thymus. She takes intact brain. And then those body parts are put in gel-packed packages and whisked off with a delivery truck same day while the woman is still recovering from the abortion procedure. Now, she casually talks about this as though it's no big deal. And so the jury saw this woman kind of teary-eyed, that she was concerned that this video would come out. And then they saw this woman casually talking about, I mean, just over lunch, eating her salad, talking about crushing above, crushing below, removing intact parts, and then concluding at the end, we've been pretty good at doing that, referring to getting these intact body parts. And what she also says, and this is a medical director, a doctor of Planned Parenthood, she says that, you know, as a these organ procurement companies, you need to have good relations with these abortion providers, these abortion clinics, so that you can carry on these kinds of conversations.
Oh, my.
It's absolutely unbelievable what she said, and the jury was stunned when they saw it. 3 weeks into the trial, that's the first video we were allowed to get in.
Now, Matt, also, I mean, in this video, there is the negotiation that is going on, and the undercover reporters here asking, as to how much she would charge for, procuring some of these, of which she said, well, you know, you're putting me in a position, basically, that, whoever throws out the first amount is at a disadvantage here, and what are you going to pay for it, and this and that. And, I mean, this whole one thing that came forth, there is definitely the making of profit and in this procedure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, that was the day before Dr. Mary Gatti. She's the Lamborghini doctor. That's
okay.
What we call her. She's the one who said she wanted a Lamborghini, and Harry Mihet opened up the opening statement of the trial with, "I want a Lamborghini," and then he went on to explain it. But then the question was, how do we actually get that into evidence, because the judge wasn't going to allow us to show any videos. Well, the day before, last week, this was on Tuesday of last week, that doctor, another abortionist, another provider for Planned Parenthood, that doctor was on the stand, and she also opened the door. We weren't able to show the video of her conversation, but we were able to ask her the question. And she said she was concerned about something that was said on the video. Well, that opens up the door about what was said on the video. So during cross-examination, we continued to probe her, and she didn't want to say it. Then finally she said, well, what she said was, "I want a Lamborghini." And then we came back and said, "And you said that in the context of negotiating compensation for higher prices for the baby body parts." And she said, yes.
Wow. Doesn't it, making a profit violate the law?
Yeah, it does. And in fact, as a result of these videos, a couple of prosecutors' situations in California, not with the state attorney general's office, of course, but others that are independently elected, they sued some of these organ procurement companies, Stem Express and some of the other ones, and they sued them because they were selling these for enormous profits. They were getting the organs from Planned Parenthood, selling them to research facilities like Stanford University, as an example, making thousands of dollars of profit, tens of thousands of dollars of profit. In one case, they were selling livers for $17,000, livers for $17,000. As a result of those lawsuits by different local prosecutors, they were fined multi-million dollars, and many of them went out of business, except Stem Express was able to weather those fines and is still in business. Stem Express had a website where you could go on, and it had like drop-down screens, and you could order, say, a heart of a, you want it in terms of 24 weeks gestation, you want a certain size, and then it would give you a cost of that. That's where, so say a place like Stanford University would go online, make the order. The order would come into Stem Express, for example. Then they would take that to the abortion facilities, and they would look at the women that are coming in that day, and they say, well, you know what, we need a heart of a 24-week-old or a 20-week-old, whatever it might be, of a certain size, and we need it with no chemicals, meaning that they had to alter the abortion procedure. They had to do no poison of the child so the baby is alive. And in fact, in the criminal hearing, we were able to bring on a PhD from Stanford University that actually is doing research on stem cells on mice. And one day, a baby beating heart arrived at the research lab, and she was shocked. And she ultimately testified, the only way that that could happen is if it were extracted while the heart was still beating.
Oh, my.
And we also have testimony that, in fact, that has indeed happened.
Matt Staver with us from Liberty Counsel. Matt, a second video came about as well, shown just, what, yesterday?
Yes, just this week. What happened is, again, David DeLaden, one of the other, there's two people, David DeLaden and Sandra Merritt. These were the two that did the undercover video recordings.
And are both being tried at the same time?
Both being tried at the same time, both being sued for the millions of dollars. David DeLaden, Sandra testified, she was called by Planned Parenthood the first week, and David was called the last week of their case in chief. Now we start our case next week. And so David was testifying after being on the stand for a couple of days. They asked him a question, and it opened the door. And the question centered around, why did you start doing this? Well, they opened the door to that question. And the reason is because they saw, David and Sandra, a 2000, back 19 years ago, documentary on ABC News 2020. They did a lot of other research for 2 or 3 years as well before they did these recordings in around 2013. But they saw this as part of their research. And what is it? Connie Chung opens it up. Chris Wallace is the host. and they have an undercover investigator doing exactly the same thing that Sandra and David did, having lunch with someone, an abortionist, in this case a pathologist, who was procuring body parts. And back then, 19 years ago, this guy says exactly the same thing. Back then, he was making $50,000 a week, hoping to make millions of dollars each year. He called this a golden goose that keeps laying eggs. He talked about altering abortion procedures, getting informed consent for the tissue. He says, but it's really easy because you can get 85 to 90% of the women to sign it because they don't know what they're signing. It's filled with a lot of legal mumbo jumbo. And consequently, they can get these organs, and they can sell them. Back then, he was making up to $2,500 for one baby's body parts. He said feet are a dime a dozen. You can get those all the time. And he's just casually talking over lunch about the same thing. Chris Wallace ultimately concludes why this is illegal. That's what's in the video. There's individuals who are experts saying this is illegal to do this. This is awful. Even Planned Parenthood CEO back in 2000 said, whoever's doing this, they ought to be prosecuted. Well, we agree with that. But Planned Parenthood has been doing it for many years now, what we found out in this case. And that's what's in these videos, and that's why Planned Parenthood doesn't want them shown.
Well, what was your reaction to the jury to this?
Oh, the jury is, again, it's the second video. It's 4 weeks. 4 weeks. Cases about the videos. We've only been able to show two. That was an 8-minute video. The other one last week was about a 4.5-minute video. They've seen 12 minutes of video. But those 12 minutes really underscore what's at issue. They underscore the problem, and the jury is just stunned when they see it because they see Planned Parenthood, and the judge gets them this leeway to get up on the stand and talk about how great they are and how they're doing, you know, mammograms and so forth. And poor Planned Parenthood, it's being persecuted because of these people that are trying to bring them down. And then they see the reality. They see Planned Parenthood talking about altering abortion procedures and harvesting babies. Then they see this is going on, and it has been for 20 years. And Chris Wallace ends that report, the 2020 report, 19 years ago. Why is no one doing anything about this? And those were the last words that the jury heard before they went on to their break for that day.
So they're admitting to crushing babies to sell their parts for profit.
Yeah. My. Yeah. Yeah. It's if I described this to you, what they're doing, without telling you the age of the baby, you would know that I'm talking about the Holocaust, because you would know that those kinds of grotesque things with inhumane treatment, taking organs like this, or maybe even some places in modern-day China. But this is in America, and this is with innocent, freeborn babies.
I even saw something come forth about selling baby scalps, which were likely being resold to those conducting a study on baldness.
Yeah, in fact, that's part of some of their original research. They talked to some sidewalk counselors who saw these trucks that would pull up early in the, you know, they'd pull up and they would whisk away. They would take boxes out there, jail-filled boxes. And so they ended up talking to the FedEx truck delivery person, and they found that what was happening is these are body parts that had just been extracted from babies, and they were carrying them in these jail-filled boxes to the delivery site, to the research site, to the place that they were being sold. And some of these were scalps. They were taking scalps from these babies and placing them on immunized rats to test hair growth.
Wow. Friends, we're going to be back in 1 minute. Matt Staver from Liberty Council. So after the break, we'll find out where do matters go from here. What's next? Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Did you know that the first act of Congress was to open with prayer? Or that the Declaration of Independence mentions God 4 times? Or that George Washington's first order to his troops was to live and act as becomes a Christian soldier? Did you know that in 1642, Harvard University stated every student is earnestly pressed to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life? Or that Noah Webster said education is useless without the Bible? These and over 2,000 other quotations revealing the godly heritage of America are found in America's God and Country Encyclopedia of Quotations by William Federer. This reference volume of over 800 pages cites founding fathers, presidents, statesmen, constitutions, and court decisions. An excellent reference guide to know our heritage, and it's available for a donation of $22. Call 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Yes, we have continued to be monitoring to see what's happening with the transgender case in Dallas. No news as of yet. Matt Staver with us today with an update on the Sandra Merritt case. This underway right now in the San Francisco Federal District Court. Liberty Counsel is defending Sandra Merritt against Planned Parenthood. They're seeking multiple millions of dollars as punishment for her undercover investigation exposing Planned Parenthood's trafficking in human baby body parts. Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Counsel. Matt, where do things go from here? I mean, we've had, you said 4 weeks so far?
Yeah, 4 weeks so far. So they just finished their case in chief. I think it was a big mistake for Planned Parenthood to put Sandra at the very beginning and David at the end, but they did, and they made some doozy mistakes along the way, and we've been praying for these opportunities. So next week, we begin to do our own witnesses, and we have a number of witnesses. However, we don't know yet how many the judge are going to allow. The judge will not allow David and Sandra to go into any detail about what they did, how their mind was actually formed to do this. What information did they have to believe that Planned Parenthood was engaging in illegal activity? They not only saw the documentary, they did research, they read articles, they consulted with experts, they talked to pro-life sidewalk counselors, they did 2 to 3 years of investigation. The judge won't allow that specific information to come in, just maybe a 30,000-50,000 foot overview of it. And they won't allow, for example, our expert that we were, he won't allow the expert that we had in the civil or the criminal case, the PhD researcher from Stanford, who actually saw and was shocked to see this body, this baby heart still beating when it arrived at the research lab. Won't allow any of that. But you know what? We're just praying for some additional breakthroughs. They've seen 2 videos already, and those are powerful videos. We'll be able to show those again during our closing argument. We don't know how long our case will go because it's going to depend upon how many witnesses the judge allows, and he's already denied many of our witnesses. So we'll have to kind of play that by ear as the case picks up again next week. But it could go another 2 weeks, could go another 4 weeks, depending upon how things play out in court.
Matt, you haven't asked me to say this, but I'm going to say it anyways. This has got to come at a great, great expense to Liberty Counsel.
It's the most expensive case in our 30-year history. We began in 1989, and so 2019 is our 30th year. And we've never had a case that comes anywhere close to the expense. I just before we're getting on here, I signed a check for $34,000 just for travel and lodging expenses just over the last few days. It is burning through the cost. We have to have our war room set up out there in the hotel. We have to have our staff there that are doing this. And there's a lot of things going on. This case is going to be in the high six figures in terms of the cost. It's an enormously expensive case. But you know what? It's an enormously expensive thing not to do, to be silent in the face of this Holocaust against our children. And so we are privileged to be able to stand with Sandra. She's the one who stands to not only be incarcerated if we lose the case in the criminal case, which we shouldn't based on the law, of course, but we're in California, and then also the civil case. She could be bankrupt if we lose that case. But, you know, she is calm, she's at peace, and we're standing right beside her. So, you know, people who want to come alongside Liberty Counsel to help us along, they can go to our website, lc.org, lc.org. Again, it's the most expensive case, but it's the most important case regarding abortion, and particularly Planned Parenthood, probably the most important case involving Planned Parenthood ever. There's never been a case quite like this. As Planned Parenthood puts Sandra and David on trial, we are praying, and we've already been able to do it on a couple of glimmers, which are really amazing breakthroughs, to put Planned Parenthood on trial so that the world and the jury can see Planned Parenthood for what it is.
Again, folks, the website, lc.org, lc.org, and if you want to stay informed also on the case, you can go there. You can go to lcaction.org. You'll find regular updates taking place on the Sandra Merritt case, lcaction.org and lc.org. It stands for Liberty Council, lc.org. We are opening our phone lines today, folks. Let's hear your questions. Let's hear your comments on this issue. The Sandra Merritt case is what we're talking about today. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. And Matt, you know, I've seen several of these videos as they were released, and there's more yet that have not been released. They actually were confiscated.
Yeah, when Kamala Harris was the Attorney General, now she's the United States Senator, she hired an agent, and this agent was the one doing the, quote, investigation, close quote. We brought him onto the stand in the criminal case. He had no training, and he never asked these individuals he interviewed the circumstances of the recording. He just said, well, he took their word, oh, yeah, this was not supposed to be something overheard by anybody else. But here's an example. One of the recordings where the person said, yeah, this was a recording, and it was confidential. Well, guess what? It was done in an elevator, not over lunch, in an elevator, and there were other people unrelated to either the recorder or the person being recorded in the same elevator. Now, you don't carry on conversations there that you are not wanting other people to hear. Obviously, they continued to talk. And so these people... what we find is now they say, well, they didn't want these things to go out. What you really find is that when you press them, they are openly proud of what they do, and they don't care whether other people hear it because this is who they are and this is what they do, and they have blood on their hands, and they don't mind it. They do that every day. I mean, how do you do 30,000 abortions, 200 in a week? How do you take a baby and turn it around, breech first, and crush it while it's still alive? This is what they do while they're casually eating their lunch or whatever they're doing.
Yeah, right.
They're proud about it, and it's absolutely stunning.
Matt Staver with us. Our number 800-733-9829. Let's go to Randy in Erie, Pennsylvania. You're on the air, Randy.
Yes, I just have a quick question. My question is, I mean, this is horrible, but my question is, do you think that some of these judges and other officials in the state are on the take?
No, I don't know that any of the... we don't have any evidence, certainly, of that, that they're on the take. I think what we have in a federal court is someone who's appointed for life and who has a long history of supporting Planned Parenthood. And I think these rulings regarding what is permissible are designed to protect Planned Parenthood. It's really a shame. It hurts our defense. I think it's unconstitutional, and certainly those are points of appeal if we ultimately have to raise those on appeal.
Thank you, Randy, for the call.
Thank you.
And so there is the history of friendliness with Planned Parenthood then?
Right, yes. With this judge, we actually, earlier on in the case, before the set trial ever began, we went through the whole motion to recuse the judge because of evidence. It's quite a lot of support of Planned Parenthood. In fact, an abortion, he's with an organization at one time and or associated with it, and the Planned Parenthood abortion facility or Planned Parenthood rented a place in the same nearby office there. And his wife actually had posted something on social media when these videos came out. So there's definitely bias there, and we're seeing it in the trial. But, you know, what happens is we have to keep praying. And what happened is Planned Parenthood's witnesses keep opening the door. They've done it three times based upon the questions that they've asked or the answers that they've given. And that's why we've been able to show these two very powerful videos so far.
And we need to continue to pray for such stumbles to take place.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, prayer is working. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that we were able to get into the content of the discussion with regards to the Lamborghini doctor. That allows us to tie in the opening statement. That's the only way we could have done it. To be able to do the video of Dr. Nucatola, that was powerful, and we can bring it up in closing argument. And then this 2020 documentary, this is not Sandra or David doing it. This is 2020, ABC News, 19 years ago, and the same exact thing has been playing out 19 years ago that's playing out in the courtroom right now.
Let's go to Reggie next from Lake Geneva. You're on the air, Reggie.
Yes, you know, I was listening to the call about the Planned Parenthood, and I was listening to a Wisconsin radio just 2 days ago, and they was talking about how child births have went down, and you know, and they thought it was some kind of crisis, how babies weren't being born, deaths were overseeding babies. I was like, but common sense tell you, it's because of people like Planned Parenthood, because of this LGBT, you know what I mean? They can't reproduce, and you're killing the babies. Let's be honest about this.
Yeah, indeed. There's a lot of misinformation that's given, but Matt, how do you see a population able to care for itself when we continue to kill our youngest, most vulnerable?
Yeah, I mean, you have violence from the very beginning of the womb, and when you have people like this that are parading around, but behind the mask is frankly, you know, a demonic, darkened spirit. That's the problem that we have. And, you know, they're profiting from killing babies. We're talking about the core business of Planned Parenthood is abortion.
Yeah.
And they're getting
paid. It's not cancer screenings.
Two ways, yeah. Yeah. They're getting paid two ways. One on the front end of the abortion, and then they're turning around and getting profit on the back end. Once the baby's aborted, they harvest the parts and sell them to third party vendors.
Let's go to Rick next. Go ahead, Rick. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you for what you're doing. You know, praise God for it. My question is, why can they not go after the people that are creating a market for this, for these baby boomers?
Well, that's a good question. The ones that are there's two entities that are creating the market. Obviously, Planned Parenthood, and Planned Parenthood needs to be criminally prosecuted. I know the Senate and the House have investigated them. They've referred this to the Department of Justice, but the DOJ thus far has not done anything. Hopefully, Attorney General Barr does pick up that baton and run with it. But the previous attorney generals, including Sessions, did nothing on this. So that's one. The other are the STEM procurement companies. And some of those have been punished, but STEM Express is still in business. But the real end user are these university research facilities like Stanford University that say they want to research, say, Alzheimer's disease or whatever it may be, or baldness. And then they're getting these baby body parts as part of their research. Those are the ones that are creating the market. Those are the ones that paid up to $17,000 for a liver. And here's the other thing. Up until recently, the federal government, our tax dollars, has been going to some of those research facilities. One of them got $4 million in federal tax dollars to do research. Federal dollars going to these research facilities. Then they turn around and use these dollars to buy baby body parts. Well, President Trump said no more to that. But there are still some in the pipeline from the past. And this was under Republican and under Democratic, particularly under President Obama. President Trump finally said no. But there's still some loopholes there that we need to stop.
We'll be back in 1 minute. Thank you for the call. Here on Crosstalk, Matt Staver with us from Liberty Council. LC.org is their website. That's the letter L, letter C, .org. Back in 1 minute.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. In 1948, John Rawlings Rees and G. Brock Chisholm founded the World Federation of Mental Health. They had many goals, but one of them was to destroy traditional values. In fact, make them a sign of mental illness, parental authority. They also wanted to destroy the free market system and declared that if you were defending your private property, it was a sign of your being neurotic. In fact, my friend John Stormer, who wrote the book None Dare Call It Treason, said this: few legislators who passed the model mental health laws realized that Chisholm and that of his associates defined mental illness as a sense of loyalty to a particular nation, a sense of loyalty to a moral code, a strict adherence to the concepts of right and wrong, and opposition to foreign aid or communism, end quote. Does that not sound familiar? If you defend our borders and national sovereignty and national security and oppose socialism and social justice, you're deemed mentally ill, a bigot, a hater. Where does this come from? World Federation of Mental Health.
Breaking news coming out of Dallas, Texas. The judge presiding over the case of Jeffrey Younger, that's the father who's trying to protect his 7-year-old son, James, from a chemical, the gender transitioning, ruled today that the parents will have joint conservatorship over James. That includes making joint medical decisions for the child. The judge also put a gag order on the father so that he cannot speak to the press about this case, and has decided that the father is not required to pay attorney fees, but also that his website, the Save James website, will have to be shut down. And more things are developing in this. We will look further and have much greater information on this story tomorrow. Matt, before we come on with the Sandra Mayer case, your response to this matter?
Well, it depends upon how much he can have to say. He ought to be able to veto it, that's for sure. And I'm glad there's at least a glimmer of hope there, but he ought to have a veto right over this. And he ought to continue to fight for it. Regarding this gag order, that's absolutely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I just sent an email while you were saying that to our litigation team that we ought to reach out to him to represent him on the gag order. He doesn't have to take down the website. That's nuts. He doesn't have to be silent. That's the government telling a United States citizen that you cannot speak. Now, if that's not a blatant violation of the First Amendment, nothing is.
Yeah. Okay, let's back to the phone lines on the Sandra Merritt case. Jeremy calling from Pine Island, Minnesota. You're on the air.
Yes, I want to just kind of follow up with what the other caller said about the market for these.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading an article on Know the Risk about vaccines and how a lot of the viruses are grown on aborted fetal tissue and how we should be not supporting those. If you could follow up on that.
Right. I don't think we ought to be supporting the aborted, any support of the aborted fetal body parts or tissues. You can get stem cells from an umbilical cord. You know, that's something that is not, that's you can get a lot of stem cells from that and do research on that. You know, once the baby has been delivered, and this is, I'm talking about normal deliveries. I'm not talking about abortions. Obviously, there's blood in the umbilical cord, and you can use that for research, but not baby body parts. Under no circumstances should you allow baby body parts to be researched.
Yeah, thank you.
And in fact, by the way, the PhD from Stanford said that there's rules governing rats, mice, that she cannot cause unnecessary pain to a mouse during her research, and if she does, there's serious consequences for her. But there's no laws regarding what can be done regarding human baby body parts.
Tom is calling next. Tom, you're on the air.
My question also is related to the vaccinations and the development of those vaccinations. Are they a part of this bigger picture of using body parts?
Yes, there are certain, and that brings up this whole controversy of these states that are wanting to push mandatory vaccinations and not have any religious or moral objection opt-out, because some of these vaccines are made with aborted fetal tissue, aborted baby cells, baby stem cells and other cells, and they are part of the vaccine. And there are some that have no alternatives. There are some that have alternatives. You can get it with or without. And there's others that have zero alternatives.
Thank you for the call. Bob in West Dallas, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to remind people that standing prayerfully, quietly in front of a Planned Parenthood abortion clinic will result in you going to jail for 6 months to a year. I've been there, and my friends here in West Dallas, Milwaukee area,
and it happens all the time. We're prayerfully out there, don't say a word, and apparently they got some influence over the police that we did some, you know, terrible crime. We go 6 months, a year in jail, prayerfully standing in front of a Planned Parenthood.
Right. Yeah, well, continue to stand there, because that does change people's lives. Lots of babies are alive today because people have stood in front of a Planned Parenthood abortion clinic or some other clinic around the country to give hope and prayer to these women who are going into in the life of their baby.
Thank you for the call. We're going to get one more call in. This is Jim, who is calling. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for this program, and thank you, Matt, for standing for life. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
But it brings me to an issue where we're at the time, this time of year, and I was just I don't know if it's providence, divine providence or whatever, but I just happened to watch this lady speaking that came from India, speaking on what's coming up here, this celebration of Halloween. And it started with the
I want to stay on the abortion issue here today, Jim.
Well, I'm talking about death. Why this? Why is this abortion happening in this country? Because we've opened ourselves up to the demon god of death, Samhain, which is Halloween.
We'll be delving further into this on next week, Wednesday, dealing with witches and witchcraft, etc. Join us for that particular program on that issue. But the infatuation with death is upon us. I mean, we even have witches now that are praying this against the president tomorrow evening, Matt, having that situation taking place. But on this matter, this is infatuation with death. This comes, we think about abortion, it comes from the pits of hell.
It does come from the pits of hell, and this is a fascination with death. It's brutally destroying innocent, helpless children that are made in the image of God. This is satanic anger directed at Jesus himself, who was born of a woman. And obviously this is really what's behind this. Sometimes, and I think a couple of times in this, we're just praying that the mask here just comes completely off, and that the jury sees what really is at issue here. This is a matter of literally life and death playing out right in front of these jurors.
Matt Staver with us from Liberty Counsel. And again, folks, the website is lc.org. If a tremendously costly case that's going on right now, lc.org. Also stay informed at lcaction.org. If you need to get in touch with Liberty Counsel by phone, their number is 407-875-1776. That's 407-875-1776. Matt, what would you want to leave with the listeners here today?
Well, continue to pray. I'm telling you that prayers really have made a difference. We're up against a lot. Our hands are tied in so many ways. But prayer has been working, and prayer will continue to work. The trial is still ongoing, so pray. And you can go to lc.org for more information. lc.org/Sandra is the specific webpage.
Great. Matt Staver, thank you so much for joining us here again on the broadcast.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Again, folks, the Sandra Merritt case, an update on it today. Be praying for the attorneys of Liberty Counsel. Be praying for the organization. Pray that the funds would come in to support their defense for life. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.